Well, they waited to make their left, so the traffic backed up 10 or 15 cars behind them. And instead, we could all have gone around them at even a slow speed. And I know you're not supposed to pass on the right, but reality is that people go around. And so you just be cautious out there. I mean, I consider myself probably an aggressive but a courteous driver. Be good out there. I mean, let's drive safe and be good. We're going to do the weather in a minute, but first we're going to do a couple commercials, and then we'll be back, and we're going to talk about anything real estate today, about buying and selling. Danny's an extraordinary realtor from Weikert here in Flemington, and she'll be joining us a little later. So let's go to commercial. We'll do weather, and then we'll be back.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Okay, let's talk about the weather. Kind of clouded up today. I didn't expect it, but we have showers today with a high of 88 and a low of 70. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 89, low of 64. Looks like the weekend's going to be nice, though. Looks like the weather breaks a little bit. We got a break from the heat. We're going to be at 78, 79, and 77 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with a low around 60 degrees. Partly cloudy, so it looks like a nice weekend, 80 degrees, but a little break from this 90-degree weather. And Monday, we're at 76, 62 again, and it looks like that for the foreseeable future. My 10-day forecast says between 76 and 80 with partly cloudy. So with that comes probably afternoon showers, so be prepared for those thunderstorms that roll in, and they can be quite violent, as we've seen recently. So up in Morristown, where a power line went down and started a fire, so be aware of that. It seems like the weather can be violent really sudden lately. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
We're back. Hey, let's talk about, I hear the whistle going off. I don't know if it's the noon whistle, but if you're out there, be careful, because you might have some volunteers responding right now. We're going to talk about a couple things before we wait for Danny to come in, the real estate agent. But there's some questions that you can ask when you're looking to buy a house. And these are questions I think you should ask. And it's amazing when I talk to buyers, how many of them don't know the answers to these, and yet they're still going forward the biggest investment of their lives. One is you should ask why the owner is selling and how long they've lived there. It'd be interesting to find out that, you know, if they took a job or it's transfer or they're downsizing and they're older. It tells you a lot about the house, too. I mean, if they've been in there for 20 years, then they must love it, and they're selling it for other reasons, maybe. Change in lifestyles, change in, you know, maybe a death of a family member or an estate sale. Also, if they're selling it in its short term, why? Is there a problem with the house? Are they getting out? So sometimes they telltale signs. So you might want to find out if the agent knows why they're selling and where they're going. They're going south, then they can tell you that they're just migrating. But if they're buying a house in the other side of town, maybe it tells you something that you might want to look into. Also, you want to look at the market in that neighborhood. One of the hardest things to do is to move to a new area and buy a house, because you don't know the neighborhoods. You don't know the type. Every neighborhood has its own character or flavor. Sometimes some people recommend you rent until you buy if you don't know the area. But that's another reason why you want to hire a good agent, because a good agent's going to listen to you and is going to put you in a neighborhood that is the best fit for you. If there are a lot of houses for sale by bank in that area, it might tell you something. Some areas out west, I was out in Ohio and noticed there were complete neighborhoods that were all bank-owned properties, and that's because the local plant shut down, and literally about 40% of the population worked for the plant, or more than that, worked supporting the plant. So a lot of homes got sold in the bank process. So You know, maybe you don't want to buy that house in the middle of a bank-owned street because there's going to be like 10 houses for sale for a while. Or maybe it's a great buy because maybe you're going to be able to buy something that you normally wouldn't be able to afford, or something that, you know, out of your price range that now it's affordable and it's a great deal. But knowing what you're buying into is a great thing. Also, what's the property worth? That's the big question. And that's the question even when I do inspections. People will ask me, will you buy this property? I really can't answer it because I don't know the value of the property. Even if I know what you're selling it for, say you're selling a house for $500,000, I know it's, but I don't know if it's worth $500,000. You got to know what the comps are, and when I mean comps, I mean other houses like it in the area. If the other houses in the area are selling for $600,000 and this house is $500,000, it's a good deal. Now maybe it's a good deal because it needs some work, or maybe it's a good deal because they have to sell, or a bank-owned property or something like that. But you got to know what the value is, because if you look at it and it needs a new roof, needs a new furnace, and it's selling it at top dollar, it may not be a good buy. For example, I sold my sisters and I sold my father's house when he passed away. It had new siding, new roof, new windows, but inside it was 1967. So we sold it probably about $50,000 below market. Ended up selling it for about $250,000, and the houses in the area went for about $300,000. So when people went through the house, they'd say, oh, look at the kitchen. It's a turquoise kitchen, or the bathrooms are in terrible shape. They're aged. I mean, they were 19. They literally hadn't been refurbished in 30 years. They were good, but they just were dated, quite dated. But, you know, the price was right, and I didn't. You know, we didn't negotiate that because the house was in the condition it was, and the price reflected the condition. And that's where a good agent comes in, because a good agent should talk to you about that. If they're going to show you a house that is worth $500 fixed up and it's $450, why is it $450? Does it need a new furnace? Does it have a problem with the roof? Is it in a neighborhood with an easement? Look around. People don't realize they buy houses with easements. They buy houses with power lines. And I live next to power lines all my life. Don't get me wrong. It's not a problem, but it shouldn't be a surprise to you. So get to know the area, get to know the value of the homes in the area. You might want to check the comps yourself, and just, you know, Zillow's the internet's tremendous today, because you can look at anything. You can look at people's tax records and see what they're assessed at tax wise. I had a woman buying a house that was selling for twice the assessed value. Now I'm telling you right now that most, you know, towns are behind in their assessments, and somewhat, and some have rolling assessments, and the tax usually is less than the market value, but twice it sounded like the house was really overpriced. So that's interesting that it can go like that. So you want to, you know, all those records are available online, by the way. The public records are, you know, your taxes are all up there, people. You can go to your local county and state, and you can Google, you know, my address, and you can get my tax records. That tell you when, and it'll also give you a record of when it sold and how many times the house sold. If the house has turned over four or five times in 10 years, then there, you know, maybe want to look a little deeper into why. Some of the areas it's just that way because it's a transfer area. I can remember when AT&T was big down in Bedminster, that houses in Flanders, they constantly rolled because people came and went, very often. Another question asked is the seller flexible? If the seller is firm, then it's a negotiation. It's going to be a tougher one. If the agent knows that they're flexible, they may have built in. I had a seller the other day tell me they priced the house at a certain price because they knew the septic would fail. The septic was 40 years old, hadn't been inspected in years, hadn't been pumped in years, and she suspected a 40-year-old septic was probably a cesspool and was probably going to need a $30,000 septic upgrade. So she priced it $30,000 higher, and when the people came in and they found out the septic failed, she said she'd fix the septic and she would take $30,000 less. She would fix the $30,000 basically. So her target was the number that she got, but she knew that going in. Don't be fooled. Some people know it, some people don't. Some people are completely fooled or upset when the septic fails, but septic is something that it's a crucial part of the house. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it is something that has to be maintained. And bringing it up to today's standards can be very expensive. So be wary. The septic inspection is one of the ones that you'll want to skimp on, that you really want to get a good one. Because, you know, if the system is 90% and it passes, you're buying a 90%. You're buying a septic tank that is 90% near death, say, and you're buying it. You'd almost rather it fail and have the seller fix it than you want to buy one that's going to fail in a year or two. Septic tanks last 30 years, you know, 25 years. It all depends on how many people are using it and how it's maintained. So Interesting that, you know, sometimes you want it to fail. It's sort of like radon. If you get a reading of 3.9, the seller doesn't have to mitigate the radon. You do. If you get a reading of 4.0 or 4.1, then the seller typically remediates it. So if you're going to be that close to 4, you'd rather have it over and have the seller's responsibility instead of you buying it. If you're the seller, you'd rather have it the other way. So understand, and then if you listen to the World Health Organization, you want it at 2.7, so you want to remediate it anyway. So there's a lot of information out there, and it's a lot to swallow, especially if you're in the middle of a move. You're moving your family, the pressure to move, the job usually is changing. Money is you feel like you're just a money pit. You're just selling, you're handing money to the realtor for, you know, assessment, inspections, you know, septic inspection, house inspection, assessment, valuation, survey. I mean, you're writing checks to everybody, and it goes quite quick. So, you know, the more you know it going in, the better it is and the less surprise you'll have. Let's talk about how often has the property been sold? I mean, that's that we already talked about that. How long has the house been on the market? That's a big question. Has it been on and off the market? Some people put it on and then they take it off, and then they put it on and they take it off. Some people list it too high. A good agent will only take a listing that's priced appropriately. Because a house that's not priced appropriately won't sell, so the agent is going to end up spinning their wheels and spending money. Most people don't realize that agents spend money when they list a house. I mean, they're going to pay for marketing. They're going to put listed on all these different sites. They're going to probably put photographs together. Those are things you want to talk to your agent about. And we'll talk to Danny when she gets here about that and what an agent does. People think they just show houses and then collect commissions, but I've learned over the last couple of years, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more complicated, and a good agent, is working their butt off for you and trying to move that house. And a good agent's going to bring only qualified people to the house. Having to leave your house for 2 hours every time they show it is no fun unless they're bringing qualified people. If they're bringing people through that have never intention to buy it or can't afford it or it's not what they're looking for, it's just wasting your time and theirs. So that's where a good agent comes in. You want to talk about a disclosure. Did the sellers sign a disclosure? You know, in New Jersey, you don't have to have a disclosure, but if you do and you sign it, it's a legal document. And in this disclosure, you should read it. I've done many houses where the people buying it have never read the disclosure. The disclosure may disclose that there was a leak in the roof or a flood during Sandy that they took 2 feet of water. So understand that you want to read that disclosure and you want to understand everything that's in it. There may be a lot of things that they don't know. For instance, you bought the house from another owner. You don't know that the deck wasn't permitted or not. One of the things you can do, you can go to the town and you can request under the OPR Act, which is the Open Public Records Act, any open permits or any permits that were issued on a property. That will tell you what things were done with a permit, what things were inspected, what things were closed. You may see them open a permit for a deck, but you may not see them close it, which means they got a permit to build it, but they never got it inspected. Makes you think, doesn't it? And then just because it was inspected doesn't mean it's right. I've seen many a deck that passed inspection that I cite things that I would fix. Because home inspectors don't do a code inspection. It's one misnomer out there. Everybody thinks I'm a code official, but I don't do code inspections. I'm not even supposed to really talk about code that way. But I tell people code is a minimal standard to build a house. Think about it. It's the minimum standard that a builder has to satisfy in order to build and sell the house. Home inspectors like to think that we're doing a higher level. I'm doing a safety inspection. So even though that front stoop might only be 2 steps high, it might look good without a railing, I may suggest you still put a railing on it because if the mailman steps off the back of the stoop because it's small when the door swings open and he breaks his ankle, you may find yourself in a lawsuit. So, you may find some home inspectors making suggestions that are not required. And then there are other situations where they're required, but I don't know that I'd still do it. And I don't know if I told the story one time. Excuse me. I did a house up in Lake Mohawk, and it had a beautiful staircase. I mean, it was like 6 feet wide. It came down a big retaining wall in the back, down to the pool that overlooked Lake Mohawk, and it was gorgeous. No railing. I don't know that I'd ever put up a railing. They had like these little planters along the edge of their staircase, but a railing probably would distract from the beauty of that. But to tell you the truth, if you had small kids there, or you had an elderly person that slipped and fell off the edge of that, you're talking about falling 10, 15 feet, it could be catastrophic, and a railing would be certainly be warranted here, but not so sure I'd put one either. Just because and the code may even require it, but just because code requires doesn't mean all people do it. I would recommend that you follow code because it's there for a reason. It's there because they're there to protect you, and it's based upon statistics that support the code. So don't think that not all the government is just trying to take your money. So we're going to get back in a minute with how much property taxes, and we'll talk about move out in a minute. But we're going to do a couple commercials, and then I did get a text from Danny. She's on her way, so maybe we'll have her in the second half hour. But let's do a few things for business, and then we'll get right back to you. You're listening to Hunterdon County Chamber Radio Station, and you're listening to Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. Larry and Jeannie split weeks. Jeannie's next week. Jeannie is a Reichert Realtor office here in Flemington, and I'm a home inspector. So we talk everything about the house and about real estate and buying and selling and how to maintain that beautiful home of yours. So join us, and I'll be right back after a couple commercials.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Okay, I'm back. Let's go back to some of these questions that I got here for you. When do sellers have to move out? I mean, that's a question that you need to know because if you have to be out of your house or you have to sell your house, there are things that you have to be in order. And a couple months, either way could break the bank. I mean, for instance, if you're paying an extra mortgage, in my case, you'd be paying $5,000 for 2 months, taxes and mortgage if you can't get into your house. So it can be a significant swing. I mean, you can worry about the cost of your inspection, which could be anywhere from $300-$400 to $600-$800, depending on what inspections you have. And then you could lose that all in just in the 1 month of extra mortgage payment. Or some people have a bridge loan and they carry two mortgages. So timing is critical. Some people want to be out fast, and it's going to require you to accelerate your purchase. You maybe move more comfortably than faster than you're comfortable. So knowing the timing and knowing that may color the connection. Don't fall in love with the house to find out that the sellers want to be in it till September and you want to be in it in August so your kids can start school. Know that coming up front and ask those questions. One of the questions I always ask is how much is the property tax and the utility bills? You might be surprised. There's some sewer bills out there. For instance, I pay $54 a quarter for my well, now it's $100. I guess they just raised it. But, I mean, I pay $100 a quarter for my sewer. But yet I know people in my town because my sewer system is a private system, but it serves a lot of people. And then I know some people that pay like $180 a quarter. So you can see the big difference. I mean, for 20 years, I only paid $57, and my father was paying $180 a quarter. That's significant. That's $400 a year difference. So ask about the utility bills because different things in different places. Some places you get the water. Sometimes you have to pay for the water. Sometimes the water is metered. Sometimes it's not. Same thing with the sewer bill. My sewer bill now is adjustable based upon how much water I use. So, you know, the more water you use, the more it has to be treated. And they figure that way you pay sewage based upon use, not just a flat tax, a flat bill. Also, electric is different in different areas. So ask the question about electric, gas, oil. I mean, you may have gas, you might have oil. I mean, I have propane, oil, and electric. They're all pretty sizable bills at times, depending on the type of year. I have electric hot water. I have electric air conditioner. I have oil heat. And then I have propane for the fireplace. So you can see that energy can be probably this one of the biggest biggest costs a month. So you want to understand that going in. Also, a lot of the houses I do today, if you're 2,100 square feet and above, typically they're putting two furnaces in. Two furnaces mean two gas uses, you know, and two electric uses in the winter, in the summertime. So, you know, it might be great. It might keep the house nice and cold, but it might cost you a little bit more. So make sure you ask those questions and even get a copy of the bills if you get that far into it. Understandable, nobody's going to hand over the bills to you until you're ready to buy, but you may ask roughly what the costs are and what utilities are serviced in the area. Paperwork. Here's a big stickler. I'm a big guy on this because when you do the inspection, if they have the paperwork, it makes life so much easier. You have an oil burner. It's serviced once a year. Make sure the service ticket is on the boiler, because it tells the inspector that it's been serviced. When I can walk in there and I say, okay, it's been serviced in September of 2018 before the winter season, that's great. Then I know it's been serviced every year. I love when there's this service ticket there, and or maybe there's 10 tickets, one for each year. It tells me that the people have been taking care of it, and a licensed service technician has been inspecting this thing on a yearly basis. It doesn't make it perfect, because I've seen problems and things do happen, but it makes it a lot easier. Also, you know how old it is. I mean, sometimes the system doesn't give away the age, and you want to know the age and if the system had any problems. Or if you see any repairs made, it's nice to see the ticket. Other thing about keeping the paperwork is things like Roth's oil tank. It's a great oil tank, but it comes with a couple million-dollar insurance policy for leakage, and it is transferable in most cases. So having that paperwork handy and have it available to your sellers, when people are walking through the house and they see that, you know what it tells them? It tells them that you have an owner that takes care of the house. So if you're in your house now and you think you're not selling it for 10 years, take the time to put that paperwork together. Put it in an envelope. I like to see it. To tell you the truth, I put my my furnace paperwork. It's in a Ziploc freezer bag, and it's on the wall next to the furnace. Do me one favor, please, though. Don't put it on top of the furnace. You know how many times I walk in and I take a manila envelope off the top of the furnace and it's right next to the vent pipe and it's brown. I mean, eventually it will catch fire, people. That vent pipe, eventually it will dry it out. Do not put anything combustible on top of your furnace or your hot water heaters. Typically put them next to it or even put them on the wall near it to keep them away from the combustible areas. There's a reason why those things get hot, and you don't want anything that's going to melt to them or even remotely catch fire. But it's important because when you get them, and I'm guilty of this too to some degree, is you don't keep them. I mean, it's funny. I try to keep all my warranty information together, and every once in a while I go through it. Like I have warranty information for a TV that's 10 years old. Guess what? That TV breaks, I'm throwing it out. But I did have a five-year warranty on it, but it's funny how nothing seems to break during the warranty. It only breaks after. If you have a house like mine, it's like a five-year warranty. Well, 5 years and 3 months, that's when the TV blows up. Or the VCR stops working. So it's funny how that works, right? I'm sitting here scrolling through my questions here trying to get you some more information. I know Danny said she was coming in. don't be scared to buy an old home. I mean, old homes sometimes, I mean, I tell people time is a better inspector than all of us. A house that's been built 10 years ago, I think an optimal age is under 10 years because most new homes come with a 10-year homeowner's warranty. But things have settled. The cracks that have occurred are settled, and there's going to be probably no new cracks unless there's a really violent movement. But a brand new house, I can't tell you a lot about because a brand new house hasn't settled yet, hasn't shrunk. The lumber's still damp. The sheetrock is still fresh. Nothing's dried out. The plumbing's brand new. It hasn't had people taking 100 showers on it. So understand that sometimes age in a house is not a bad thing. Then you get the other side where it's really old, and then you got to expect certain things: unlevel floors, some rough plumbing, some fixes, some previous water leaks. Our software presents all that legal jargon for the report, but it's amazing. You go in the basement, you look up, and you see where the toilet flanges are off. The basement isn't finished, and usually you see water damage around that because over 25 years, it's likely that a toilet or two has leaked a little bit, or a pipe in a bathroom has been dripping, or an elbow. It's not unheard of, and as long as it's dry and it's not leaking anymore, you don't have a problem. It's the constant moisture that brings the mold, guys. We've talked about mold before, and an inspector can't call mold. I mean, they can only call what looks like mold because a lab has to test it to determine that it's actual mold. But mold's not good. I mean, it's a good product. I mean, it's actually mold is good for us in a sense that it's what breaks old stuff down. But having it in the house is no fun. People with respiratory problems have problems and stuff like that. So the age of the house shouldn't scare you. It also depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if you're like my son or some millennials, they all want brand new. They all want, waterfall marble, and they all want brand new kitchens and open concept. I suggest, and maybe some naysayers out there will chastise me for it, but open concept is a concept that's worth dying. I don't really appreciate it. I mean, I love a great room because I love having a big living room where the whole family can fit. I actually have plans on my house for a great room out the back, and it's a 20 by 24 foot room with a fireplace and a big TV that we could all sit with our families and as my kids get older and their families. But, the open concept into the kitchen, I'm not a big fan of. I like to watch if I'm watching a ball game on a Sunday afternoon and my wife's Italian family are all in the kitchen, the last thing I want them to be is in the same room with me because I can't hear the TV even two rooms away. I think open concept actually created the man cave because men want to run away and get separated from the crowd. It's a nice for entertaining, you can have open. I like the modified open concept, having the great room in the kitchen, but still having in the family room separate. The living room sort of gone away. I mean, we took our living room away. My son with autism has his own room with his own TV, and that was the dining room. And the family room is the dining room, and the living room is the family room. So we really don't have a formal living room like people. Or in my mother-in-law's case, we call it the dead room because nobody's allowed in the living room. It's set up like a funeral home. I think you could have a casket in the middle of it, and you'd feel it's just like you're down the street at the local funeral home, right? Because it's like a velvet rope across the living room. Nobody's allowed to step in it. Years ago, it was the plastic, the furniture with the vinyl enclosure. And if Paula's listening, she'll be laughing because she knows exactly what I'm talking about. And Gina probably, too. So, it's funny how things have evolved over the years and how different things. One of the things I like to see is, the half bath. But, my half bath's in the middle of the kitchen. It's quite annoying because when somebody gets up to use the bathroom, if you're sitting at the table, everybody's listening to them. There are better designs, that way. One of the things you got to ask your agent for is about mortgages. One thing a good agent brings to you is a team. A good agent, and we'll talk to Danny about this, I hope, soon. But, you get a good team, and she brings a mortgage person. She'll bring an insurance person to the table. She'll bring an established real estate agent has these connections, have people that she knows she can trust and that will treat her customers right. Some people think that they get their hand out, they're getting a piece of everything. That may happen, but it doesn't happen often. Most agents are not looking for money from their referrals, just like I don't. If I refer an electrician, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for somebody to do a good job for my customer. I don't want to make money on them. I'm not collecting fees on them. I just look for people to do a good job and treat them fair. and do the job that they're designed to do. And that's the same thing with a good realtor. She or he builds a team, and what they can do is save you lots of time and effort because she knows that the mortgage person she puts you with is going to be able to move on it. She's going to be able to qualify you on it. She's going to help you. She's going to call if there's a problem, and she's going to be able. They're going to be able to expedite it in a sense and make it fair. And she calls an insurance person. She knows the person knows the area and can work with it. The same thing with a real estate attorney. A lot of people hire an attorney sight unseen in New Jersey, in North Jersey especially. An attorney is a key person in the real estate transaction. They can slow things down. They can tie things up. Also, avoid that family friend that's an attorney that doesn't do real estate. If they do real estate for a living, that's fine. But if they don't do real estate on a regular basis, you probably want to pick another attorney because that's like picking an eye surgeon to do cardiac surgery. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go out and pick an eye surgeon to do your heart surgery? So make sure you pick the right lawyer. That's key. And typically the health inspection follows the attorney review. So it's key to set those things up and to execute them because time is money. You're buying a house, you want to get the house inspection, you want to get the septic inspection, you want to get your appraisal, you want to get all those things out of the way, but you want to move them in the right order because you don't want to be paying for things ahead of schedule. For instance, you do a home inspection before it gets out of attorney review and the attorney finds a real problem with it, then you just wasted the money on the inspection. I also encourage our buyers to look at the house, like an inspector. Because you're going to pay a professional to come in, and I always advise you to do that anyway. Why wouldn't I? But you can do it first. And if you find problems that you aren't comfortable with, and you don't know, then you talk to a professional like an expert, like the agent or the home inspector, and determine what you can live with or what the exposure is or maybe what other inspector to bring in. For instance, had a house the other day and they need to bring a siding and a roofing specialist in because the house had severe rot. It was a wood house and it was in the woods and it was not treated. They need to bring a specialist in to look at taking the wood down and maybe put a vinyl siding if they want or put wood back. But it can be very expensive putting wood back, but silicone vinyl siding. But the house has to be sealed. There's too many holes in it and there's a lot of rodents, squirrels and chipmunks and such living in the house because of it. And it will eventually rot and it will eventually stink. You need to protect the envelope of the house. So those are a couple of things that, we talked about there. But when you're looking for that house, it's not always that easy because if you're buying a house in Morris County and you're moving to Hunter County, it's not that different. But I've had friends that moved from Morris County to Texas. Houses in Texas are a lot different. They're built different. The climate's different. The requirements are different. He's got a 5,000-square-foot house, but I think he's on a 6,000-square-foot lot, and he's got a brick wall around his house. And that's the way they build. I mean, it never made any sense to me because, like, in Texas, you have all this room, and then you build on top of each other. In New Jersey, we build big lots, and we have no room. So it's funny how that works, right? Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break here for a minute, and then we'll be back. So hang in there.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another new immigration policy being worked on by the Trump administration, which is now planning to hold migrant families in...
My guest just arrived, so come on in, Danny. No, no problem. Let me just run this for a minute, and we'll get right back to you. Yeah, you sit right there. That'd be the best one.
Hang on a second. Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, we're back. I want to make sure I got Danny's mic on there. It is Danny, right?
Yes, it is Danny.
Okay. Danny, you want to put it right up close to you? Because,
okay.
I mean, it comes in better. You can hear yourself and you'll hear it.
Can you hear me now?
That's great. See how you can hear that? And
yep.
That's how they're going to hear it on the Facebook because they're streaming it. Danny's from Weikert. And, Danny, you can tell us a little bit about yourself first. I mean, how long you've been doing real estate and what your specialty is, if there is any.
Okay. My name is Danny Haynes. I work for Weikert in the Flemington office. And how I ended up getting into this, long story short, I used to sit at my other jobs. I had been working in banking, staffing, and along those lines, retail, and I always wanted to be outside when it was nice out. Well, guess what? Being a realtor gives me that opportunity to go outside when it's nice out. So basically, I jumped into that just after I ended up at a staffing agency. I started taking classes on it. I was going to try to do it, and they told me I had to do 70 hours. I was like, nope, that's not going to happen for me.
Sure.
So I stayed with the staffing agency, and then when they actually closed down the office and didn't find us jobs, I thought, what kind of staffing agent doesn't find their staffers jobs?
That's funny.
So that's kind of like my little ha ha ha.
So what do you like best about the real estate other than being outside? I mean,
I love meeting people. I love meeting people. I love looking at some of the most amazing homes that you could ever find. Just some of these houses are just gorgeous, and you know, you don't realize it from the outside until you go inside. So I'm basically talking about your Victorian houses.
Sure.
And your
no, but even some of the modern ones.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I was in sales all my life, so I love people. But the part I like about it is you go into these houses and you see how people live, and it's fascinating. I mean,
yeah.
Some of the most beautiful spaces. You know, it's like to me, it's like a golf course. You know, people ride by golf course all the time, but if you get out in a cart and you go out to the eighth hole and you look at the way that the architect designed the hole, and how the valley opens up in front of you, and you know, you walk into our living room and you see a wall of windows and it opens to a deck. I'm like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some pretty amazing, you know, in Hunterdon County, there's some pretty amazing houses that you never know are there even.
Right. And it's like I almost think that we should do like a tour. The where I come from, which was Basking Ridge, I was born and raised in Basking Ridge, and they would always do tours of some of the most established older homes. They call them the Mansions of May. They should do this out here. I mean, some of these homes are, wow.
You know what
they
I find?
Take my breath away.
You know, I find some people, though, they don't want to be known they're out there. I mean, it's funny. I do some homes up in Blairstown, and I didn't notice about Blairstown until I flew out of Blairstown, and we used to fly out. My old company had a private plane. You take off out of there, and all of a sudden you're looking around. You're seeing these big ass houses, you know, and you didn't even know they were there because they go down this road. It looks like a driveway, and you go around the corner, and all of a sudden there's an Olympic sized swimming pool and a 6-car garage, and you don't see it till the air. And they're kind of nestled in there. And Hunterdon County, I assume, it's being one of the richest counties and per capita. There's some money here. There's some houses that are there.
Oh,
but even
beautiful.
Some of the small gems. I mean, I did one over here in Flemington, Virginia, just recently, of old Victorian.
Yep.
What a gem right in the heart of Flemington, you know.
Yep.
I mean, the brocade work on the trim pieces, you can't get that work anymore.
Right.
Unfortunately, if you have to repair it, it's hard to repair it, too, because you can't get the craftsman. Tell me, what is the biggest mistake people do when they're buying a house? I mean, maybe that would start there.
When they do it without a realtor.
you missed my beginning, but I did talk about it. I always tell people they need a realtor.
Yes, because it's much better when you have a realtor, because we're looking out for you. We're looking out for your better interests. And especially when I'm dealing with like first-time home buyers, I feel like I'm acting like their mom.
Sometimes you are. I've seen it.
Yeah, and I just sit here and I go like, do they really need me to act like this? Or I mean, it's just like I'm my heart kind of goes out to them, so I really want to do the very best for them and make sure that they're buying a home that really fits their needs and isn't going to be the complete nightmare that it could end up being.
Expectations are everything, right?
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
I tell people there's a home and a buyer for everything, but a young couple who doesn't have a dime to spend, who can't fix anything, doesn't belong buying that house.
Right.
Versus somebody who's a carpenter or electrician and the house has lots of problems, maybe it's the right house.
Right. Yeah, it also depends on like who's buying it. I mean, if you've got like an investor or you got people that, you know, work in construction and they want something like that, you know, the fixer-upper is like the best thing for them because it gives them that sense of pride that I'm molding in this house.
It's a blank slate, too. They get to build it their way.
Yeah, but molding this house into something extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, I know my house. I did all the hardwoods myself and the floors. Every time I walk across them, I feel some kind of pride that I did all the flooring and, you know, stuff like that. But then there are parts like the tile work that I hired out because there are some jobs that are not for everybody. But I do tell it, by the way, I do say the best inspection tool I have is a good agent.
Yep.
Because without a good agent, it's a nightmare for me.
Yep.
If I go into a house to do an inspection for a couple that doesn't have an agent, then I'm playing an agent, mother, father, and inspector.
Yeah.
And I have to point out that the bricks are falling out of the fireplace, and I shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
Because if the bricks are falling out of the fireplace, they should already have that conversation with their agent.
Yep.
That's why sometimes if I do find that and the agent didn't tell him, I look at the agent cross-eyed, like, how come am I having this conversation? I'm there to find the things you can't see.
Right.
Or you don't know about, not the obvious things that you know, are okay if the house is priced right.
Right.
And that's the other thing I talked about earlier was price you guys bring to the table is the comps.
Yes.
You got to know what the house is worth relative to what other people are paying. And worth is not relative in a sense. It's what people are willing to pay. That's what it's worth.
Exactly. And the comps are not Zillow. I know that a lot of people go by Zillow and that price point on there. And, you know, sometimes Zillow gets it wrong, like really wrong. It's very rare that I've seen them gotten like close or on mark. Very rare. But most of the time they're pretty far off because their comps, they're not out here. Their comps are just based on whatever is sold in the last 30, 40, 60 days. You know, they're not taking into account that you're comparing a farm, a mansion to, you know, a little bungalow, a Cape Cod, a ranch. Or just plain land. I mean, you can't compare land to a house.
Well, and even then, two houses.
Yeah.
I can count on my hands the number of houses that look like in person that they did on Zillow.
Yeah.
And I get burned every time when I look at Zillow. Because I'll look at Zillow because I look at it, see what I'm going. Do I have an oil furnace? Can I get on the roof? And things like that.
Right.
But I'll look at the house and I'll say, oh, it's going to be an easy afternoon. And then I get there. I'm like, holy hell. Who took those pictures? I mean, there's even rendering now, I guess. You know, people render furniture into the house, and they have to, I guess, disclose that. But still, when you're looking at a Zillow, and you're saying, my God, this is a beautiful house, and you get there, and it's not as nice.
Actually, a lot of the houses, because some of them have been previously listed by agents, the homeowners, you know, if they decide to sell it on their own, they'll take those pictures, and really, they're not supposed to do that.
Right, they're all copyrighted, right?
Yeah, because it belongs, the agent paid for that. The agent paid for those pictures. They don't.
Well, that's why, like Zillow, it's hard. You can't download them. Whereas some sites, you can download them. You know, you can take them as your own. But yeah. I mean, I guess. See, and that's the other thing that people don't realize. When you list a house, you're investing in that house. Day one, that agent's spending money, and people don't. I don't think people know that.
I
had an agent tell me that they spend about an average, even in an initial stage, is about $1,000 per house.
Yep, because you're paying for photography. If you're doing a floor plan, you're paying for the floor plan. If you're doing a drone, you're paying for the drone. you know, when you start like doing staging, that, you know, usually comes from the seller, and that's based on if the seller wants to do that. But if the seller doesn't want to do that and they want to, then the agent could do a virtual, but that also comes out of the agent's pocket still. So, like, all
you're advertising, you got signage, you got signage, you got open houses.
Yep.
I mean, people don't realize that it adds up very quickly. That's why it's hard to explain to people that they think that an agent, well, they should list it where I want it. I said, no, a good selling agent isn't going to take a house that isn't going to be reasonably listed.
Right.
Because it's a losing proposition for you.
Right. And it's very rare when you have a, I actually have been very fortunate. I actually had a seller that actually priced the house the way it should have been priced. And I was like, wow, thank you.
Well, and you know, and it's funny because people will think that, you know, you're not doing your job. You could have got more for it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If the agent sells the house in 3 weeks, that's a great agent.
Yes. That means the house was priced well.
Right. And I never thought of something like, you know, open houses. I always thought they were old hat. And I had another agent on here who explained to me. And I had a guy from pursuing me. I did a seller's inspection, actually, because there was an older woman living in the house and there was a strong smell of urine. And they needed somebody to give a report to the daughter so she could get things fixed to sell it. Because it was a state sale at that point. But then he had an open house, and I didn't realize why you do that. And he says, well, listen, Larry, if I have to show it 26 times, that's 2 hours the family has to get out of the house 26 times. If I do it at an open house and I get 26 people in 4 hours, they're only out of the house 4 hours.
Exactly.
I was like, I never even thought of that way. I always thought of an open house as a nuisance, a waste of time. But really, even if you get 10 people, that's still 20 hours the family doesn't have to exit the house.
Exactly.
And 20 times you don't have to clean the house, right? I mean, to have it spit spot because you really want it that way. So I never realized how much, you know, goes into selling a house and preparing it. I mean, you think it's just, oh, let me just sign it, put my sign in the front yard, and people will come and buy it. A little bit more than that, people. But, you know, when you say picking an agent, what do you think people should ask? I mean, because different agents are different people.
Yeah.
Just like priests, just like teachers, just like anything else in life. Some people connect with you. Some people you find they don't. What are some of the things that people should ask their agent that they to find out if that's the right one for them?
It kind of also depends a little bit on what the property is. I'm sorry, my nose is itchy. You know, so if it's commercial property, your agent's going to be very different. If it's land, your agent, again, is going to be different than when you're selling a house. So basically, you want someone who's going to have, like, the same care for your home as you do, that they're going to look at the aspects of the house and price it correctly based on, you know, what the neighboring houses that are similar to it, they know the area, they know, you know, facts about the house, you know, beyond what you already have. Sometimes agents don't have always all the facts, but because the fact that they listen and they take down the notes and everything like that so that they can basically, you know, explain the house to every person that comes through, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for someone who's going to take the time to listen to what you have to say, understand your feelings and your motivations, and get the job done.
You know, I had some people tell me that, you know, you ask about the history, and I'm not a big fan of that in a way, because, I mean, history is like the market. History is not always a predictor of the future. Some people who have 60 houses listed or 25 houses listed, you're only one of 25, whereas you have an agent that has five houses, maybe they're more focused. So there are pluses and minuses to both,
exactly.
I guess. I mean, there are big – and then there are other agents that have 25 listed, but they have a team of six people. I mean, so – and that's what I talked on one show earlier about teams and how real estate's a little different than I thought. I mean, there are some single agents that do everything, and then there are people that have the name, and then they have 6-7 people working for them.
Right.
So they can be quite effective too. And
absolutely, there's some people that have like assistants, so they do like all the phone calls and everything, and the agent is the one that goes out to all the appointments. But then there's other ones where, you know, you've got multiple people that can go out to all the appointments, you know, with the assistants. And then, like you said, there are agents that do it all. You know, they're the assistant, they're the agent, they're the buyer's agent, they're the listing agent. They negotiate. Interesting enough, I have a few properties that I actually have both sides, and it's been kind of like, wow, that's kind of like a new feeling for me because I've never had that. So it's like now you got to put that boundary between, you know, the seller and the buyer.
I'll explain a little bit in the sense that buyer, when you represent both sides of the equation, there's a very legal thing. It's tough for me too because my obligations to the buyer.
Yep.
But if your obligations to both, there are things that the buyer will tell you that you can't tell the seller, and the things the seller can tell you that you can't tell the buyer.
Nope.
So you're representing both sides, and you have to. And when you're buying it with this agent, that way you have to disclose that, and you have to sign an agreement, not saying you acknowledge that, you understand that. But it can be very different. We're going to do a couple commercials, Danny, because I got to do them because we got to pay the rent here and there. There are people out there, but we'll be right back, and then we'll finish up.
Okay, great.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back. Danny, I got a couple of questions here to wrap up, but one of the things I noticed somebody said to me once, they said, well, I don't know why I'm paying my agent a big commission. We bought the third house we saw. And I said, you should pay her double the commission. I said, that means she listened to you, she went through the inventory, and she found 3 houses that you were interested in, you bought the third one. Aren't you glad you didn't have to look at 30 houses to find that third one? And they looked at me and they said, oh, yeah. I said, that's an agent that did her job. That's not an agent that got lucky. I said, the luck has something to do with it, but it also means that you brought the right inventory to them and you fell in love with the third house.
Right.
How great is that? I know my wife looked at like 30 houses, you know. I mean, I only looked at 2.
Well, that's interesting. Also, it depends on the buyer because, and I've noticed this, and you just kind of touched on a great point. You know, when I've worked with just men, you know, I could show them just 5 places, 3 places, 2 places, and they'll pick one. When I'm dealing with a couple or, you know, a woman, it's like we have to look at everything. It's like shopping for shoes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It's true. I go in the store, I find a pair of shoes, I pick it off the rack, and I buy them, and I'm out.
Yep.
My wife will try on every pair in her shoe, even if she's not even looking. She'll end up buying a pair of heels, and she went in there for flats.
Yep.
That might be the shopper in intuitive. And you know, we're generalizing now. We can't do that anymore.
Oh, I know.
But that is true.
It seems like it's like the flow.
Right. So. Guys are simple. They're looking at, you know, bones and stuff and like that. What would you want people to know about yourself? Maybe you can leave your name, number, or email, because you're right here in Weikert. I mean, I know you're right here in Flemington. Flanders, but. But that's it.
I would travel to Flanders. That's not a problem.
You go where the business is. That's how I know.
Exactly. Yeah. My name is Danny Haynes with Weikert. My number is 908-202-1174. You can call, text me at that number. My email address is dhaines@weikert.com. So you can email me there. The office number is 908-782-8800, extension 4342 is my extension. And a little bit about me. First of all, I'm one of those agents that I will travel. I don't mind. I sold a house up at Sussex County. I have a listing in East Brunswick. I have two listings in Holland Township. I have a listing up at Lake Apacon. And I have buyers that are looking in the Flemington area. Flemington Raritan area, and I have buyers that are looking up in actually around Lake Apacon.
I do a lot of house up in Lake Apacon.
I'm up there often now.
That's a unique community because you can have a house that's fallen down with a cesspool next to a house that's worth about $3 million on the lake.
Exactly.
I mean, it's crazy because I've walked in thinking, oh, my God, there's a little tiny thing, and I walk out and it's got, 3,000 square feet on the waterfront.
And
the house next door is a, two-bedroom built on pylons. I mean.
Just waiting for its moment to be.
Well, it's funny because I had a couple buying it, and they didn't care what the house looked like. They were buying the piece of land because it had a dock and they had a big boat.
But like I said, a lot of them are looking to make that extraordinary house regardless of the size of the lot and the home.
Sure.
I know quite a few people up there, so it's that makes it a little helpful too. A little bit more about me. I have been in the business since 2011. I've actually had my license longer since 2004, I just really love my job. There's nothing better than loving and enjoying your job. One of the things that kind of missed out on with my other jobs, that some of them I loved the manager, some of them I loved the job, but it was never like the right mend. I have both.
Well, you got the right personality for realty. You got to be out there. You got to be willing to work. And it's easy to do a job you love to do. I mean, I'm working for myself for the first time in, 30 years I was in technology. And I love what I'm doing. Even this radio show is fun to do. But, Danny's going to be on next week with Jeannie. Jeannie's on next Wednesday at 11. She'll continue the conversation. And it will go from there. But, at the Weikert office here in Flemington, if you lost Danny's number or whatever, I'm sure you can find Danny on the Weikert website and look up the sales team. They're all there with pictures and connections. So
I'm also on Facebook. I'm sold by Danny on Facebook.
See, there you go. We're all out there. And we'll see you next week. If you have any questions or any emails, remember Larry McEntee at Home Team. And remember me, if you're getting an inspection, give me a call at 973-547-7748. And, yes, I have to look up the number because I don't remember anybody's phone number anymore. It's funny. I can remember my phone number from Boston where I lived 48 years ago, but I can't remember my office number anymore because everything's in the phone.
Yep.
It's funny how that world works. Danny, I wish we had more time, but we had half a show at least anyway.
Absolutely.
And thanks for coming. And hey, guys.
Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome.
I know it was short notice, but thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate you taking it. And 2 weeks from now, I'm hoping to have a structural engineer on. So that'd be a good cut guest. And Danny, you want to listen into that one. This one is a guy who I call in when I have things that I don't goes well beyond my scope.
Oh, who is it? I might know
him. It's a PE from Morse County. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Okay.
But I'll have him in 2 weeks. So we'll see you then. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What do you want
me.
To do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Prime Minister of Denmark and its royal family said to be livid after President Trump abruptly cancels a long-planned state visit to that country. Former U.S. Ambassador to Denmark Rufus Gifford says
he has the gall to say that he's canceling his trip because he thinks the trip should have been contingent on the fact that the Danes were willing to negotiate for part of their kingdom.
Reports are the president's upset over Denmark's refusal to consider selling Greenland to the U.S. The prime minister says Trump's idea of buying it is absurd. The administration now wants to hold migrant families in detention for the entire duration of their immigration proceedings, acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleenan saying the current standards incentivize illegal entry. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone.